Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Nicole Galinas is here, ladies and gentlemen. Nicole is a great member of our Brain Trust, longtime member, now going back over 6 years now, and she is the Soul Freedom Trust Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a contributing editor, City Journal, the author of one of my favorite new books, After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. How many times have you heard me say that on this show? And she's our good friend, Nicole Galinas. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you back, Nicole. Nicole, back in, what was it, 03, in 01 and 02, we had the, 2001 and 02, we had the WorldCom and the Enron meltdowns, the Tyco, and what was there's a few others that were out there. And there was a huge knee-jerk reaction by Congress and the government, and in about 90 days they passed a bill called Sarbanes-Oxley. And that Sarbanes-Oxley has done a lot of damage, but it didn't fix the problem, because we had the 2008 crash,
yep,
the financial crisis that Sarbanes-Oxley could have contributed to, but it didn't. So why did we have it? Then we got the Dodd-Frank law. It's a reaction to the financial crisis, and yet we have things like JP Morgan Chase is what I'm trying to say. We have this debacle. So when are we going to learn that government regulations don't seem to be solving the problems we have in the financial industry?
Well, you know, there's a couple issues here. One is that you need some rules and regulations, but they have to be the right ones. It's just like anything else.
And enforced.
Exactly. That's another good point. And the rules that work best are the simple ones. It's just like traffic rules. You know, they tell you go at green, stop at red. That works pretty well, and, you know, people don't do it sometimes, and you've got to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
If they told you everyone can have a different speed limit based on how safe the government thinks they are, and, you know, it's more of a micromanagement system, that would just be complete chaos. And so you want simple, clear rules of the road that everybody has to follow, whether you're a race car driver or a little old lady on the road, and everyone is governed by same set of principles. But in the financial system, that's not what we have with Dodd-Frank. The government says some large financial companies, banks with more than $50 billion in assets, are systemically important financial institutions. It's kind of like a fancy way of saying they're too big to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be held to a different set of rules. You've got all kinds of other, you know, exemptions for customized derivatives, and that's how you end up with 848-page bill. Very small print. There's a larger print version that's even longer, and nobody knows what the law really wants. This debate over what the Volcker Rule means. Well, what is proprietary trading?
We've heard a lot about the Volcker Rule, especially with the J.P. Morgan issue recently. Tell the audience what that means.
Well, back in early 2010, the draft of Dodd-Frank was pretty much done. Congress had it in hand and was working on it. There was no Volcker Rule. So the Volcker Rule was a late addition to the law. And what happened was former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker, he was concerned that banks would still be able to use insurances that they're insured by, or deposits that are insured by,
right,
the FDIC to engage in risky short-term speculation. And so he said we should have this clear, simple rule. any bank that has FDIC-insured deposits shouldn't be able to do speculation or proprietary trading.
Yeah,
exactly. But nobody can figure out what this trading is. Mm-hmm. And if you want to separate broker-dealer investment bank activities from commercial banks, that would be one way to go, and there's mm-hmm. merit and demerits to that. But that's not what they did. It gives you an idea of how muddled Congress is sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Volcker didn't add to, he didn't really add much of a solution, but more of a problem. You want to say banks shouldn't do brokerage? Fine, say that and make these.
Well, didn't we already had a law that they repealed. Was Glass-Steagall? Didn't Glass-Steagall do that?
But exactly.
hold on to that thought, Nicole. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to talk some more about this with Nicole. The reason why I want to cover this on our show, folks, is because all the things that Nicole is bringing to our attention filters down and becomes collateral damage on Main Street through our independent community banks that you and I deal with. It affects all of us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.